The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? It is game day for the San Jose Sharks. 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock go time, as the boys are in Toronto taking on the Leafs. Yeah, I'd imagine the media circus is descending upon Scotiabank Arena because Macklin Celebrini, one of the new stars in the NHL, he was a breakout last year, but he's solidified it this year. He's also got his whole storyline with will he or won't he make Team Canada for the Olympics. There is going to be a lot of attention, a lot of eyeballs on tonight's game. Just some of the info that we are getting for tonight's game for the San Jose Sharks in terms of the projected lineup for the Sharks. We're looking at the top line again of Graf, Celebrini, and Smith. Second line, Eklund and Toffoli, the wings to Wenberg. Third line, Skinner, Delandre, or Kurashev. Fourth line, Gaudette at center. He's got Reeves to his right, Goody on his left. Then the D pairs, Orlov, Liljegren, Ferraro, Mukhmadulin, who slots back in, Dickinson, Klingberg, and Nedeljkovic will get the start. So it appears that Yaroslav Askarov is still on the mend from that virus that he picked up the other day. And the Sharks are going to be going against Henry Thrun, who will be making his Maple Leafs debut. Very, very excited for him. Henry Thrun was a very, very nice guy when he was with the San Jose Sharks. And I often think he was in a difficult situation at times, and I think there's still a lot of upside left to his career. But you can see right now that there still is a logjam at defenseman for the San Jose Sharks. So he's getting an opportunity to play and get it done with another franchise. So again, I am very much excited for him. But we've got a great interview coming up in a moment here with Dave McCarthy of NHL.com. You also know him from SiriusXM NHL as well as NHL Network. He covers the Leafs. But, you know, I think that one of the things I'm really just going to be looking for early from the San Jose team is, can they get the shot counter going up? Can they start getting looks on net? Are they going to play with the necessary aggression? Because that, to me, is such a big part of the battle for this team, to have that early presence in a game, to try and dictate some of the tempo. We know how big an early goal can be. You look at their win against Carolina the other day. If you can repeat that, it would go a long way in helping San Jose pick up a much needed win, right? Like, that's something that everyone knows they need, to not let this turn into another two-game slide. You know, it's been back and forth a lot lately, but that's better than losing streaks, right? You want it to be one game and then done. Get back on the winning side of things. The Sharks have mostly been pretty good about that since the 0-4-2 start. They've had two-game slides, but other than that, they've been able to get together some wins, at least one. So that's another thing I'll be looking at for tonight's game, the early aggression, so they can try and not be on the losing side of things for a second game in a row. With that, let's now bring in Dave McCarthy, NHL.com, SiriusXM, NHL, and NHL Network. Dave, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Oh, better than I can ask for it. Ted, how about you?
I'm doing very well, man. And I think it's funny to juxtapose the different ways that the seasons have gone for these two franchises. And, you know, I talk about Toronto having 32 points, but my friend who's in the area, it's disaster mode for him literally since day one. Yet the Sharks, with 31 points, not having quite as good of a season, everyone out here is smiling and laughing and talking about the good times returning. How much of that two sides of the coin is defining how you're looking at this game tonight? Because, you know, no expectations on the Sharks versus all the expectations on the Leafs.
Well, I think you put your finger on it right there. It comes down to expectations. And for the Leafs, they're in absolutely win now mode. And through the first third and a bit of the season here, they haven't been doing much winning. And they've been scrapping and clawing to get themselves back to a point where they're in contention. And when they went on their road trip that wrapped up about last week at this time, 5-6-game road trip, they were essentially left for dead. And if they didn't turn it around and play effectively on the road, which they did, they would have come home and, man, you want to talk about the sun going down at like 4:45 local time these days. I don't know if the sun would have been coming up at all when it comes to the Maple Leafs, right? I mean, it would have been deep, deep trouble. But they pulled themselves out of it. They played quite well. They've been good in the couple of games that they've been back at home, getting 3 or 4 points. And because of the fact that the Atlantic Division is not very good right now, nobody's running away with it. They're right there back in contention, not just for a playoff spot, but they're 3 or 4 points out of the division lead. So it hasn't been a pretty path to get to this point, but their season is still afloat. As for the Sharks, you know, they kind of remind me of where the Leafs were in like 2016-17, that first year that Matthews and Marner and Nylander really broke into the league, where there were no expectations coming into the year, and they just incrementally got better as the year went on. And then by the time there was like 15, 20 games left, it was like, well, why not us? Why can't we squeeze into a playoff spot? And they did. But there were no expectations. Anything was a bonus. And I think given the way the season started in San Jose, I don't know. I'm just glad Ryan Warsaw, he still got his firstborn, right? He didn't turn them in for a win, because I mean it looked pretty dark there 7-8 games into the year. But since a poor start, they've turned it around. We've seen progression. We've seen really encouraging performances from a lot of the guys that will represent the next, you know, 5 to 10 years in San Jose. The Celebrinis, the Will Smiths, guys like that. They played really, really well. And so you can see the future right now in the present. And I think for a team in San Jose and a fan base that's been through a bit of a tough time, there's really encouraging signs, and there's a lot to get excited about.
I've been to Vancouver and Toronto and Montreal, and I know what it's like during hockey season there. And it's great from my perspective. I wish it was more like that around here. How much of the storyline of this game is Macklin Celebrini being in Toronto and the hockey world and its associated media kind of descending upon him? Because we know that you can't bring up Macklin Celebrini without bringing up Team Canada, which, Dave, I think he takes as a personal slight, or at least that's how he has kind of framed it. You know, it seems like whenever somebody asks him, you know, about that, you know, the fact that he's not a shoo-in, it seems like he goes out and has a big night the next time. And so I'm kind of curious, with all the eyeballs on him, how he'll go off tonight, which is always a potential. But how much is it, you know, Macklin Celebrini in town, not specifically the Sharks?
Oh, there's some excitement for sure. Well, from the Sharks standpoint, I'll tell you, it's kind of the repatriation of an awful lot of former Leafs. Like, is Ryan Reeves going to get a tribute video? Timothy Liljegren's back in town. John Klingberg. I mean, holy cow. It's like the Leafs versus the Leafs alumni tonight. But in saying all that, no, you're right. Macklin Celebrini, there's a lot of buzz around this guy. And you said it, Ted, because of the Olympics. He has put himself in a position where Doug Armstrong, the general manager of Team Canada, cannot overlook what Celebrini has done, and he has made him thought long and hard about it. So what I would say is, if, and this is honestly meant as no slight on the San Jose market at all, so please don't, and please let the listeners not take it this way. But if you do it in Toronto on a given night, that'll really start to get some attention on you, because as you pointed out, like, it's just the straight facts, right? You do it in Toronto, you do it on one of the biggest stages in the league, with the pressure on you to do it on a big stage, that'll get some attention. Like, we always laugh, like when, you know, another team out in your neck of the woods, the Kings, roll through town once a year. It's like, we always joke, it's like a fireside chat with Drew Doughty. Like, he just, he has some material prepared and a message that he'd like to get out. And oh man, like, he just gets his point across, and he knows, he says it here, people will hear it. When John Cooper rolls through town, oh man, does he have material prepared. It's just amazing. So it just goes to show you, guys who've been around a little while know that if they need to get a message out, or they want to be noticed, they want to be seen, you make sure you do it in Toronto, and then it'll get some attention on you. So yeah, there's some buzz, because Celebrini is not just an encouraging young player in the league now. He's quite frankly one of the best players in the league right now with how well he's played. So for those reasons, yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement to see what Macklin Celebrini has in store tonight. And I think the fact that his upbringing too, with his dad and his association with the Golden State Warriors, like Macklin Celebrini has been around, you know, pillars, so to speak, guys who know how to get it done on the biggest stage when it matters most, and have fun while doing it. I think that's what he's all about. And I think he's really excited to get the chance to do it here in Toronto tonight.
I got to give you an anecdote to talk about just the way the players are also aware of the differences in Toronto and everywhere else is before the 2019 series between the Knights and the Sharks. It's the practice the day before, and they let us into the dressing room. And so we all come up to Brendan Dillon, who's got his back turned to us, and he turns around and he sees that, you know, it's the regulars amongst a throng of everybody else. And he just kind of looks around and goes, did we move to Toronto when I wasn't paying attention? And it's like, yep. That is the reality. It's like just that media kind of that spotlight is on these guys. And I'm curious because I always look at it from the outsider's view because I'm not there, but how much of the early season struggles of Toronto before the 6-2-2 stretch where it's like, okay, here's the correction. It's like, we're seeing it with Edmonton now as well. The correction happens to highly talented teams. How much did everyone want to frame it as life after Marner, and how much of a low hanging fruit take was that? But did people believe there was truth to it?
Honestly, from within the room, no. Like Mitch Marner's name hasn't been spoken by anybody involved with the Maple Leafs.
But since fans must have, I mean.
Well, yeah, no, for sure. But what I would say to them is we need to be careful with whose opinion we listen to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of people that will frame it that way. But the fact of the matter is the Leafs still are a good team. And look, they haven't struggled to score goals this year. They really haven't. They've struggled on the power play. And I think to an extent that might be because of the absence of Mitch Marner, because the power play really ran through him. But that's an excuse at this point in the year. You mean to tell me you put out a unit of Auston Matthews, William Nylander, Matt Nyes, John Tavares, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson or Morgan Riley, and there's not enough talent there
right.
to be like, come on. So the guys aren't saying that, what do you want us to do? Mitch isn't here, so we don't know what the hell we're doing in the power. The guys aren't saying that. They might be trying to rediscover how they need to approach the power play without him, but they're not saying that out loud. And if they did, I would cast a long and hairy eyeball at a remark like that. That's an excuse. Can't make it. Guys, move on. You got to figure it out. And so outside of the power play, like I wouldn't say it's been Marner's absence that has held them back. Defensively, they were really poor at the beginning of the year, giving up odd man rushes time and again, breakaways time and again. Like, okay, like Mitch Marner was a quality defensive player, but he was on the ice for 22 minutes a night, and the Leafs weren't clueless the other 38 minutes last year. So it was just a case of a lot of guys needed to play a lot better. And now we've seen that over the last 10 games or so defensively, they've been a much better team. And so I think it basically just came down to underperformance on a lot of parts. They have got more than enough talent to be a good enough team to get in the playoffs and not shoot themselves in the foot. And I think by and large, that was what they were doing at the beginning of the year.
Who's been a pleasant surprise for Toronto this year?
Oliver Ekman-Larsson, I would say, to the point where I keep telling him that he needs to think of himself being within the candidacy for Team Sweden at the Winter Olympics. We're having a little ongoing debate and almost bet him and I said, like, if you make the team, like, you owe me something, man. I started a little campaign for him on the brunch a couple of weeks ago. I put out an argument where this guy has been dynamic. His offense has gone up significantly from last year. He's contributing an even strength, which is, I think, really impressive. He's playing a lot of minutes. He's playing physically. He's playing mean. Like, it's funny. I asked Victor Hedman the other day, a fellow Swede, who's played with him internationally in the past. I said, do you remember him being this mean and nasty early in his career? He's like, honestly, I think that started when he went to Florida. And, you know, it kind of rubs off on you in Florida because that's their MO. I said that to Dave Tippett last year at this time when he was getting set to play his 1,000th game, who Oliver broke in with him in Phoenix as his first coach. Dave said, yeah, you know what? I think he's become an old grumpy man now. And so, like, that's amazing because that's what you need. You need a guy with a little bit of snarl. He's playing big minutes. He's producing offensively. He's elevated his play from the role that they brought him in to fill last year, which was sort of to play third pairing minutes, 12 to 15 minutes. He's commanding ice time now. And so I think he's been one of the Leafs' best defensemen. I think he has put himself in the conversation for Team Sweden, quite frankly. And so when you bring in a guy where you've got him pegged for a role at 12 to 15 minutes, play reliably, paying him 3.5, which is not all that much these days, and you're getting, you know, as I'd say this year, much closer to $7-8 million worth of production out of him. I always like to say, Ted, when you go and you rank your cap structure and you look at a guy's salary and you rank them into performing to expectations, performing above expectations, or performing below expectations, you can really tell what kind of a team you have based on how those categories fill out. And through too much of the first part of the season, there were far too many guys in the playing below expectations category. In other words, playing below what they're being paid. But Oliver Ekman-Larsson, I would say maybe John Tavares, though he's tail, but he's been good. I'd put him in the over expectations. Outside of those two, I don't think there's anyone else that you could put in the above expectations category. But from start to finish, Oliver has been there. So I think he's been a really pleasant surprise this year.
A former Shark in Henry Thrun, a.k.a. Hank Thrun, is expected to make his debut tonight. I'm just curious what the perceptions are of him because, you know, his time with San Jose was when the team was still very, very deep in a rebuild. And I know that changes how everybody views him. And he's not, you know, the athlete that's going to blow your, you know, socks off or anything. But, and, you know, no shocker here, he's smart. He went to Harvard. That should, you know, speak to his overall mental abilities. But, you know, I have waited for him to kind of get an opportunity on a better team and take a big step forward in his career because I do think he sees the game very well. And I'm curious to see how he'll slot in with Toronto tonight.
Yeah, I am interested too. I think he's played well in the American Hockey League this year. What it comes down to is fit and role. And, you know, as you said, he's more of a puck moving guy. He's not necessarily the most physical guy. And so you have Morgan Riley, you have Oliver Ekman-Larsson, a couple of guys who can move the puck quite effectively. They've found a pretty good shutdown pairing right now with Jake McCabe and Troy Stetcher, who, want to talk about pleasant surprises, there may be another guy who they picked up on waivers a couple of weeks ago just before that road trip I talked about. Man, has he been good. And he has really helped to stabilize that blue line. But he shoots right, and he's played in the role they want him. So there's no real fit there. And, you know, down the lineup, they like a little bit of physicality. And Simon Benoit has provided that. And Philip Myers can provide that, though he's been not so good this year, as far as I'm concerned. So it comes down to where will he fit. I like the fact that they're giving him a look. I like the fact that they're doing it against his former team. So you kind of get like a double dose of FU, if you will. You had to wait this long that I got an opportunity if I'm Henry Thrun. So that kind of ticked me off. And now I get to do it against my former team, where you always want to play good against your former team. So I think that's good coaching. And, you know, we'll see what he can do. He worked a little bit on the power play in practice yesterday. We'll see if he gets a look in that regard tonight. At this point, why wouldn't you, as far as I'm concerned? His power play can't be much worse. So we'll see what he can do. But I'm excited to see what he can provide, because I think he's still a young guy who's got some potential and, you know, just really hasn't been able to find a role at the NHL level, whether it be here or not, we'll see. But I think there's something there, and I'm excited to see, what there might be there in Henry Thrun for the Leafs.
Well, Dave, I know you've got stuff to do, so I will let you go, but I appreciate your time. Keep up the great work, and I promise you I will bother you again for another interview sometime soon. All right, man?
I look forward to it. Thanks, Ted.
Again, that is Dave McCarthy joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock go time. The Sharks in Toronto taking on the Leafs. Join Dan Rusinowski for the call. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.